74. Striding the Storm. You, however, have never been a force for equilibrium. You tow chaos behind you like a corpse, dragged by one leg through the snow. Please hearken to my plea. Leave that place and join me in my oath of non-intervention. Kaladin caught Shallan's hand. Boulders crashed above, smashing against the plateaus, breaking off chunks and tossing them down around him. Wind raged. Water swelled below, rising toward him. He clung to Shallan, but their wet hands started to slip. And then, in a sudden surge, her grip tightened. With a strength that seemed to belie her smaller form, she heaved. Kaladin shoved with his good leg as water washed over it, and forced himself up the remaining distance to join her in the rocky alcove. The hollow was barely 3 or 4 feet deep, shallower than the crack they'd hid in. Fortunately, it faced westward. Though icy wind twisted about and sprayed water on them, the brunt of the storm was broken by the plateau. Puffing, Kaladin pulled against the wall of the alcove, his injured leg smarting like nothing else, Shallan clinging to him. She was a warmth in his arms, and he held to her as much as she did to him, both of them sitting hunched against the rock, his head brushing the top of the hollowed hole. The plateau shuddered, quivering like a frightened man. He couldn't see much. The blackness was absolute except when lightning came. And the sound. Thunder crashing, seemingly disconnected from the sprays of lightning. Water roared like an angry beast, and the flashes illuminated a frothing, churning, raging river in the chasm. Damnation. It was almost up to their alcove. It had risen 50 feet or more in moments. The dirty water was filled with branches, broken plants, vines ripped from their mountings. "The sphere," Kaladin asked in the blackness. "You had a sphere with you for light." "Gone," she shouted over the roar. "I must have dropped it when I grabbed you." "I didn't—" A crash of thunder, accompanied by a blinding flash of light, sent him stuttering. Shallan pulled more tightly against him, fingers digging into his arm. The light left an afterimage in his eyes. Storms. He could swear that afterimage was a face. Horribly twisted, the mouth pulled open. The next lightning bolt lit the flood just outside with a sequence of crackling light, and it showed water bobbing with corpses. Dozens of them pulled past in the current, dead eyes toward the sky, many just empty sockets. Men and Parshendi. The water surged upward and a few inches of it flooded the chamber. The water of dead men. The storm went dark again, as black as a cavern beneath the ground. Just Kaladin, Shallan, and the bodies.
"That was," Shallan said, her head next to his, "the most surreal thing I've ever seen. Storms are strange."
"You speak from experience?"
"Sadeus hung me out in one," he said. "I was supposed to die." That tempest had tried to rip the skin, then muscles, from his skeleton. Rain like knives, lightning like a cauterizing iron. And a small figure, all white, standing before him with hands forward, as if to part the tempest for him. Tiny and frail, yet as strong as the winds themselves.
"Syl, what have I done to you?"
"I need to hear the story," Shallan said.
"I'll tell it to you sometime." Water washed up over them again. For a moment they became lighter, floating in the sudden burst of water. The current pulled with unexpected strength as if eager to tow them out into the river. Shallan screamed and Kaladin gripped the rock on either side, holding on in a panic. The river retreated, though he could still hear it rushing. They settled back into the alcove. Light came from above, too steady to be lightning. Something was glowing on the plateau. Something that moved. It was hard to see since water streamed off the side of the plateau above, falling in a sheet before their refuge. He swore he saw an enormous figure walking up there. A glowing, inhuman form, followed by another, alien and sleek, striding the storm,
leg after leg, until the glow passed.
"Please," Shallan said, "I need to hear something other than that. Tell me."
He shivered but nodded. "Voices. Voices would help." "It started when Amaran betrayed me," he said, tone hushed, just loud enough for her, pressed close to hear. "He made me a slave for knowing the truth, that he'd killed my men in his lust to get a shard blade, that it mattered more to him than his own soldiers, more to him than honor."
He continued on, talking of his days as a slave, of his attempts to escape, of the men he'd gotten killed for trusting him. It gushed from him, a story he'd never told. Who would he have told it to? Bridge Four had lived most of it with him. He told her of the wagon and of Tavlakov. That name earned him a gasp. She apparently knew him. He spoke of the numbness, the nothing, the thinking he should kill himself, but the trouble believing that it was worth the effort. And then Bridge Four. He didn't talk about Syl. Too much pain there right now. Instead he talked of bridge runs, of terror, of death, and of decision. Rain washed over them, blown in swirls, and he swore he could hear chanting out there somewhere. Some kind of strange spren zipped past their enclosure, red and violet, and reminiscent of lightning. Was that what Syl had seen? Shallan listened. He would have expected questions from her, but she didn't ask a single one. No pestering for details, no chattering. She apparently did know how to be quiet. He got through it all, amazingly. The last bridge run, rescuing Dalinar. He wanted to spill it all out. He talked about facing the Parshendi Shardbearer, about how he defended Adolin, about holding the bridgehead on his own. When he finished, they both let the silence settle on them, and shared warmth. Together they stared out at the rushing water just out of reach and lit by flashing.
"I killed my father,"
Shallan whispered. Kaladin looked toward her. In a flash of light, he saw her eyes as she looked up from where her head had been resting against his chest, beads of water on her eyelashes. With his hands around her waist, hers around him, it was as close as he'd held a woman since Tara.
"My father was a violent, angry man," Shallan said. "A murderer. I loved him, and I strangled him as he lay on the floor, watching me, unable to move. I killed my own father."
He didn't prod her, though he wanted to know, needed to know. She went on, fortunately, speaking of her youth and the terrors she had known. Kaladin had thought his life terrible, but there was one thing he'd had, and perhaps not cherished enough. Parents who loved him. Roshon had brought damnation itself to Hearthstone, but at least Kaladin's mother and father had always been there to rely upon. What would he have done if his father had been like the abusive, hateful man Shallan described? If his mother had died before his own eyes? What would he have done if, instead of living off Tien's light, he had been required to bring light to the family? He listened with wonder. Storms. Why wasn't this woman broken, truly broken? She described herself that way, but she was no more broken than a spear with a chipped blade, and a spear like that could be as sharp a weapon as any. He preferred one with a score or two on the blade, a worn handle, a spearhead that a known fighting was just better than a new one. You could know it had been used by a man fighting for his life, and that it had remained sure and not broken. Marks like those were signs of strength. He did feel a chill as she mentioned her brother Helleran's death, anger in her voice. Helleran had been killed in Alethkar, at Amaran's hands.
Storms. I killed him, didn't I?
Kaladin thought.
The brother she loved.
Had he told her about that? No. No, he hadn't mentioned that he'd killed the Shardbearer,
only that Amaram had killed Kaladin's men to cover up his lust for the weapon. He'd gotten used to, over the years, referencing the event without mentioning that he'd killed the Shardbearer. His first few months as a slave had beaten into him the dangers of talking about an event like that. He hadn't even realized he'd fallen into that habit of speaking here. Did she realize? Had she inferred that Kaladin, not Amaram, had been the one to actually kill the Shardbearer? She didn't seem to have made that connection. She continued talking, speaking of the night, also during a storm, when she'd poisoned, then murdered her father. Almighty above, this woman was stronger than he'd ever been. And so, she continued, pressing her head back against his chest, we decided that I should find Yasna. She had a soul caster, you see. You wanted to see if she could fix yours? That would have been too rational. He couldn't see her scowl at herself, but he heard it somehow. My plan, being stupid and naive, was to swap mine for hers and bring back a working one to make money for the family. You had never left your family's lands before? Yes. And you went to rob one of the smartest women in the world? Yes. Remember that bit about stupid and naive? Anyway, Yasna found out. Fortunately, I intrigued her, and she agreed to take me on as a ward. The marriage to Adolin was her idea, a way to protect my family while I trained. Huh, he said. Lightning flashed outside. The winds seemed to be building even further, if that was possible, and he had to raise his voice even though Shallan was right there. Generous for a woman you intended to rob. I think she saw something in me that... Silence. Kaladin blinked. Shallan was gone. He panicked for a moment, searching about himself until he realized that his leg no longer hurt, and the fuzziness in his head, from blood loss, shock, and possible hypothermia, was gone too. Ah, he thought. This again. He took a deep breath and stood up, stepping out of the blackness to the lip of the opening. The stream below had stopped, as if frozen solid, and the opening of the alcove, which Shallan had made far too low to stand up in, could now hold him standing at full height. He looked out and met the gaze of a face as wide as eternity itself. Stormfather, Kaladin said. Some named him Yezareza, Herald. This didn't fit what Kaladin had heard of any Herald, however. Was the Stormfather a Spren, perhaps? A god? It seemed to stretch forever, yet he could see it, make out the face in its infinite expanse. The winds had stopped. Kaladin could hear his own heartbeat.
Child of honor.
It spoke to him this time. Last time, in the middle of the storm, it had not, though it had done so in dreams. Kaladin looked to the side, again checking to see if Shallan was there, but he couldn't see her any longer. She wasn't part of this vision, whatever it was. She's one of them, isn't she? He asked. Of the Knights Radiant. Or at least a surge binder. That's what happened when fighting the Chasm Fiend. That's how she survived the fall. It wasn't me either time, it was her. The Stormfather rumbled. Sill, Kaladin said, looking back to the face. The plateaus in front of him had vanished. It was just him and the face. He had to ask. It hurt him, but he had to. What have I done to her?
You have killed her.
The voice shook everything. It was as if the shaking of the plateau and his own body made the sounds for the voice. No, Kaladin whispered. No.
It happened as it once did, the Stormfather said, angry.
A human emotion. Kaladin recognized it.
Men cannot be trusted, child of Tanavast. You have taken her from me, my beloved one.
The face seemed to withdraw, fading.
Please, Kaladin screamed. How can I fix it? What can I do?
It cannot be fixed. She is broken. You are like the ones who came before. The ones who killed so many of those I love. Farewell, son of honor. You will not ride my winds again.
No, I...
The storm returned. Kaladin collapsed back into the alcove, gasping at the sudden restoration of pain and cold.
Kalek's breath, Shallan said. What was that?
You saw the face? Kaladin asked.
Yes. So vast. I could see stars in it. Stars upon stars. Infinity.
A storm, father, Kaladin said, tired.
He reached around beneath him for something that was suddenly glowing. A sphere. The one Shallan had dropped earlier. It had gone dun, but was now renewed.
That was amazing, she whispered. I need to draw it.
Good luck, Kaladin said, in this rain. As if to punctuate his point, another wave of it washed over them. It would swirl in between the chasms, twisting about and sometimes blowing back at them. They sat in water a few inches deep, but it didn't threaten to pull them away again.
My poor drawings,
Shallan said, pulling her satchel to her breast with her safe hand as she held to him, the only thing to hold to, with her other.
The satchel is waterproof, but I don't know that it's high storm proof.
Kaladin grunted, staring out at the rushing water. There was a mesmerizing pattern to it, surging with broken plants and leaves. No corpses, not any more. The flowing water rose in a large bump before them as if rushing over something large beneath. The chasm fiend's carcass, he realized, was still wedged down there. It was too heavy for even the flood to budge. They fell silent. With light, the need to speak had passed. And though he considered confronting her about what he was increasingly sure she was, he said nothing. Once they were free, there would be time. For now, he wanted to think, though he was still glad for her presence, and aware of it in more ways than one, pushed against him and wearing the wet, increasingly tattered dress. His conversation with the Stormfather, however, drew his attention away from that sort of thought. Syl. Had he really killed her? He had heard her weeping earlier, hadn't he? He tried, just out of futile experimentation, to pull in some stormlight. He kind of wanted Shallan to see, to gauge her reaction. It didn't work, of course. The storm slowly passed, the floodwaters receding bit by bit. After the rains slackened to the level of an ordinary storm, the waters started flowing in the other direction. It was as he'd always assumed, though never seen. Now rain was falling more on the ground west of the plains than on the plains themselves, and the drainage was all to the east. The river churned, far more lethargically, back out the way it had come. The chasm fiend's corpse emerged from the river. Then, finally, the flood was done, the river reduced to a trickle, the rain a drizzle. The drops that dripped from the plateaus above were far larger and heavier than the rain itself. He shifted to move to climb down, but realized that Shallan, curled up against him, had fallen asleep. She snored softly.
"You must be the only person," he whispered, "to ever fall asleep while outside in a high storm."
Uncomfortable though he was, he realized he really didn't fancy the idea of climbing down with his wounded leg. Strength sapped, feeling a crushing darkness at what the Stormfather had said about Syl, he let himself succumb to the numbness and fell asleep.